Good morning, and thank you for listening to the New Polis podcast. My name is Tate Fagley, and joining me is Jackson B. Archer. And a lot of people have been talking about the government shutdown this week, and what we wanted to talk about today was just how much this has really affected Idaho. And so according to the Spokesman Review, they have a list of different departments that the federal shutdown is hit, and so we just wanted to talk about some of those. So, first one mentioned is some federal campgrounds and picnic areas, so we got luck on that. How you feel about that one?
Oh, hi Tate, and hello to our listeners out there. Well, I really like camping a lot, and I've camped in the Boise National Forest and some of those, so I imagine it's those that they're talking about being shut down. It's kind of unfortunate, but I wonder how much money are they really going to save from doing that? And is that really all that beneficial for them? Or are they kind of doing it because they think it will sort of prompt people to write their congressman to end the shutdown so they can continue to get paid? So I wonder if it's not somewhat politically motivated because, again, I mean, how much money are they going to save? And especially when you consider other things that waste a lot of money, it seems like this is kind of unnecessary. I mean, it seems like a tiny little thing to shut down.
Right, and that's, you know, one of the lessons we're taught by the Public Choice School of Economics is that people acting in a bureaucratic capacity, they want their budgets to be as large as possible. And oftentimes, when there's some kind of budget crisis, they want to cut the most visible and politically popular thing that they can instead of, you know, things that would make more sense to cut or are less necessary. And, I mean, that's not to say that federal campgrounds and picnic areas are, you know, something that the federal government necessarily has to take care of. But, you know, out of the things that the federal government does, they might be somewhat more visible to the general public.
Sure. Sure. Well, another thing to consider maybe is the fact that so much of Idaho's lands are owned by the federal government. And, I mean, you know, not to discount the maybe if there's a legitimate role for some national forest, but so much of it is owned by the feds. I wonder if it's not a case of them taking control of it and then withholding it from, you know, withholding our own access to our own lands from us. If that doesn't seem a little bit unfair in the first place.
Right. Next item they talk about were 850 National Guard employees furloughed, and as I understand, that's about half of the National Guard employees in the state. I guess, personally, I'm not sure what vital services that they're providing that we're missing out on. Perhaps the defense of Idaho is put into peril. What do you think?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I'd be keeping an eye on those Canadians right now. They might try to make a move.
Right.
Crossover Sandpoint, and then, you know, strike to the heart of the Treasure Valley. But in all seriousness, the article isn't particularly clear, and nothing I could find in my brief search this morning really gave too much detail on what exactly those employees do. So it's hard to say. I think one article said it was going to potentially ground certain training operations or something, and that's obviously not ideal. But I wonder if the lesson to be learned there isn't Idaho should take control of this back to itself, because we're always told that the National Guard is the militia that's referred to in the Second Amendment, and that states are entitled to that, and not sure if that's the entire meaning of what the Second Amendment means with the word militia. But it does state that in that Second Amendment that the states are allowed to have that control. So maybe that's the lesson to be learned here, is that if the federal government cannot reliably handle this and maintain our National Guard for potential state emergencies, then maybe we should rethink our dependency on them for that. So I don't know. What's your take, Tate?
Yeah, I think you stated it well. I'm thinking if they do serve a vital function, then obviously, you know, you don't want these types of interruptions to happen. And, you know, we talk a lot about local control and local decision making. And I think Idahoans or Boiseans or whomever can make these decisions themselves. The next item, the Spokesman Review talks about is WIC, which is Women, Infants, and Children, which provides nutritional supplement to low-income women with children or pregnant women, and as their vouchers typically go about $50 or so per month. How do you feel about that?
I think it's, again, it's kind of unfortunate because I think of all the welfare programs or the ones I can think of, the ones I know, I think WIC is probably one of the least harmful ones, in my opinion, or one that I think probably has the most justification for its existence. So I think that of all the programs to cut, I think it's unfortunate it has to be that one. But again, I think this should serve as a warning to communities, or perhaps a wake-up call, that it is going to be up to us to take care of these people. The federal government has essentially shown us that they are not going to reliably provide, or that they can't, and it doesn't seem right that they should be holding all these people hostage this way. So I think ultimately the answer is in communities providing these services from the ground up in a variety of ways and localizing the distribution of benefits. So hopefully this can serve as a catalyst for people involved in that, and hopefully it will strengthen charitable organizations and churches at the local level and stimulate volunteers to take care of these people, because obviously they're going, we don't want to see women go without proper nutrition, obviously.
Right, and just like you said, the spokesman, right, said if the shutdown continues, local health districts will work to connect WIC recipients with local assistance programs when possible. So, to me, besides the fact that women might not be getting what they need, I think, if nothing else, it's positive that it would move to a more local level where, you know, things are more reliable.
True.
Then the last item mentioned being cut as part of the government shutdown, and I'll be honest, I kind of like this one. It is U.S. Attorney's Office, which has apparently half of its staff furloughed, and they say they'll be able to do cases for maybe 10 more days. But the particular thing that I like is that the Asset Forfeiture Unit, and I'm really questioning the spokesman's, what the spokesman says about it, which is that the Asset Forfeiture Unit helps federal prosecutors recover proceeds from drug trafficking and other crimes to help repay crime victims. And apparently that has been stalled at the moment. Of course, before reading this, I've never heard of any civil asset forfeiture program ever going to victims. And this is because most civil asset forfeitures are surrounding victimless crimes. So that whole thing seems pretty questionable to me. Usually these asset forfeitures find their way back into the drug enforcement or whatever police department who did the forfeiture. It usually finds a way into their budgets, or some states will have it back into the general budget, which is slightly better for incentives. But so I would say the shutdown isn't all bad.
No, that seems like a great thing. Yeah, like you, I don't know of any cases of civil forfeiture going anywhere but back to the enforcement agency's own budget. They can buy all kinds of whatever things they want with that. Armored personnel carriers or whatever they're giving your local sheriff now. They buy those kinds of things with it. I was personally was struck by the specific mention of the United States Attorney's Office mentioning Wendy Olson, who is the federal attorney over the state of Idaho, prosecuting attorney over the state of Idaho. And there's a very informative and interesting article by local blogger Will Grigg, who lives in Payette, called the piece is on his blog, Pro Libertate blog, and the article is called "A Comics Arena Rises: Wendy J. Olson's Reign of Terror," and it's a great catalog documenting a number of questionable things that she has done. If memory serves, she was appointed by Obama. And one of the things I've actually written about, briefly mentioned on the New Polis, and that is the prosecution, or rather persecution, of Jeremy Hill, a Bonner's Ferry resident who shot and killed a grizzly bear in defense of his family, and then was prosecuted for it. When the Idaho state officials cleared him of all wrongdoing, Attorney Olson ended up imposing a $1,000 fine on him. So, I mean, that's just one example. So I encourage our listeners to look up that article by blogger Will Grigg on his blog, Pro Libertatis. Just search for Wendy Olson and it should come up.
All right, we'll link to that.
Yeah, for some reason I never seem to hear about these things in the regular, I guess, mainstream news outlets, but they do are affecting people's lives, and it's important to know what's happening in our state. So that just about covers it. So yeah, I don't know if there's a general takeaway message from this, I guess, but I suppose I've alluded to this already, but if it feels like there's certain things that they're able to hold Idahoans hostage to, denying us certain services or putting certain important functions in jeopardy, then I really do think that ought to question our reliability. I mean, we talk about America's dependence on foreign oil and things like that, but when it comes to your daily life, you're also very dependent on, at least if you're an average Idahoan like me, you're also find yourself dependent on people who live thousands of miles away in Washington, D.C., people you've never met, you don't know them. I don't know them anyway. So maybe it's time to start questioning that, our level of dependence, and how we can make ourselves more self-reliant.
Once again, thank you for listening to the New Polis Podcast. Come check out the blog. Love to hear from you.
I'm going there to see my mother. She said she'd meet me when I come. So I'm just going over Jordan. I'm just going over home. I'm just going over Jordan. I'm just going.